Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
I'll also remind you that we have a family room right outside the door that has a live feed of the service. If you need a place to go to watch the service, if you have to step out for a minute. And moms, we have a nursing mother's room right outside this door and across the hall as well with a live feed as well. We want to make every opportunity we can for you to be able to worship with us and participate. We're so glad you're here today. I want to give you two prayer requests. First of all, let me ask you to pray for the family of Miss Betty Stevens. Miss Betty has not been able to be here much lately, but has been in the tender in our church for a number of years. And Miss Betty passed away suddenly in the night on Friday night. So be praying for her family, and we'll have ways we can minister to her in the coming days. And then most of you know that one of really the leaders of our church in so many ways, Mr. Houston Lee, went home to be with Jesus yesterday. And we celebrate a life well lived. It was a month ago that Houston stood here at our podium and shared a challenge, a testimony, encouraging us to live our lives now for the gospel, to love now for the gospel, to serve now for the gospel, to make a difference. We've posted that on social media and online now after his passing, that you might look at that and be encouraged and pass it on to someone else. We encourage you to share that, that others can see and hear that challenge. I want to share just a little bit about that behind the scenes of that. So a few months back, Houston came and sat down with me, and he had in his mind an idea that maybe time was short and what was coming for him, but not necessarily didn't know. But he sat down, and of all the ways he served, he's been on 31 mission trips. He has shared faithfully all around the world. He has helped quietly to go behind the scenes and make so much ministry happen in our church, in our city, serving people, providing for people. I won't go through all those, but it's a long list of things I could tell you. So if there was anyone that shouldn't say this, he sat in my office and he said, "I just feel like I'm not doing enough." And what I said to him was, first of all, I couldn't believe he would say that. And secondly, encourage him to know that his testimony was bright and secure among others. And he had been doing so. And then I gave him a phrase that I shared, I think, a month ago, but I want to share it again, and that is this. I encouraged him in his diagnosis, in his difficulty, and what became a debilitating thing over the last month since he shared here in our church. I encouraged him to steward, to be a steward of his situation. And friends, I want to encourage you and me to be a steward of your life situation, in joys, in triumphs, in wonderful things happening, and in difficult days. We steward the life that God has given us that others might come to know him. And so I also shared with him on that day a very specific testimony and through song. And I told him, I said, "I don't want you to feel like this song is in any way, I'm not trying to say that this song is about something that's about to happen to you, because it actually even speaks of someone dying." I said, "But the reality is what you understand and what you know, I want you to see the heart behind this of what it says and what it shares as a challenge for people to live their life for the Lord, how he has challenged people to live their life for the Lord." So I shared it with him. He loved the song. He wanted to know what it was. He sat there with me. We both cried in my office listening to it, knowing that that was what he wanted his life's desire to be. It's what I wanted my life desire to be. And it's what I hope you want your life desire to be. So when it became apparent in the last couple of days that Houston was going to be with Jesus soon, I asked Don in a very speedily way to find this song, learn this song, and sing this song. And so I want you to hear it. You will not have heard it before. And so I want you to hear it as well. It's not been on the radio or anywhere else. I want you to hear it and know that this needs to be your story and mine. When we stop and think about someone who's been willing to go anywhere, every time a missionary spoke here, it didn't matter if they were from the dark places of the world, if they were from remote places of the world that were hard to get to. I knew when the service was over, before I could get to the back door, Houston was going to find me and say, "When are we going?" And friends, what I would say is, who's going to take his place? who's going to go? And I don't just mean to the remote, dark places of the world, but also to the places right here locally. There are plenty of places right here in our city where people need the gospel and need to hear Jesus. So let the words of this song encourage you. So we'll tone things down for just a moment, and we take time to stop and celebrate a life well lived, but we are reminded that this is what God is calling for you, and this is what God is calling for me. So would you pray? Make a recommitment to the Lord to honor and serve him while Don sings this song right now for us. Would you pray while this happens?
He said this just might be the last time I see you on the side of heaven's door. We said there's no way it's true. We're all praying for you. You've got at least 30 years more. God answered our prayers for his healing, just not in the way we hoped. And we're reminded again, only the Father knows when he's gonna call his children home. So we'll anchor our hearts to the promise of all, and we'll see beyond these tears, and we'll listen close for what this moment will tell us why we're still here. Love now, don't wait till the clock runs out. All you've got is today, right here, right where you are. Love fierce, love brave, love first, don't wait, love now. There's just so much about this world that seems broken. We can't fix the past or control what's to come. But for all we don't know, we know what matters most are these moments right here in front of us. Cause these moments are like treasures God puts in our hands to spend any way we choose. But if we spend them choosing to give it all away, we'll gain the treasure we can never lose. Love now, don't wait till the clock runs out. All you've got is today, right here, right where you are. Love fierce, love brave, love first, don't wait. Love now. If we got breath in our lungs and blood in our veins, love now. We got a reason to love. We can't let it slip away. Love now. Don't wait till the clock runs out. Right here, right where you are. Love fierce, love brave, love first. Don't wait, love now. Love now. Don't wait till the clock runs out. Love now.
Would you bow your heads with me for a moment and just for a little privacy with the Lord? Those words are powerful and appropriate and timely. Friends, you've got breath in your lungs today. So do not wait to live the gospel. Do not wait to love people with the gospel. Do not wait to love fiercely with the gospel. What keeps us from sharing truth with family members? What keeps us from sharing with neighbors? What keeps us from sharing with coworkers? What keeps us from signing up to go on mission to be a part of what God is doing somewhere around the world? What keeps us from giving to support a missionary or a mission cause in a special way, knowing that the gospel will be clearly presented? My hope and my prayer is that you and I, through those words, through a testimony of a life well lived, and through those words, we will each be encouraged and reminded that God has called us to love others. God has called us to live that out through the gospel. So right now, in the quietness of this moment, would you make a renewed commitment to live your life for the Lord? Father, in the quietness of this moment, help us to find the gravity of our situation. We've got breath in our lungs and blood in our veins. Our heart is pumping. We've got a voice that can speak and hands that can serve. God, help me to steward my situation for the gospel. Help every person in this room and those participating online to steward their life situation for the gospel. God, help us to be serious about sharing your truth, to showing your love, to serving others, to offering forgiveness, to pointing people to hope. Help us to do that, Father. There are thousands, literally thousands of people who love you, that have gone on before, that were a part of this faith family over the last 140 years, who are in heaven with you now. And Father, every last one of them, I firmly believe, would say to us, love now. Don't wait until it's too late. Today, bring others to the gospel. Today, share truth with others. Today, live our lives in such a way. So God, may that be our prayer. And then secondly, Father, I think about those hundreds of people I know and thousands over the last 140 years that came through this place who did love you, who did honor you, who did serve you, not in perfection, but people who made a difference for the gospel locally and abroad. God, thank you for them. God, thank you for Miss Betty, who went to be with you Friday night into Saturday morning. Lord, she loved her family well and prayed often for her family, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren. God, thank you for that, for her testimony. God, for Houston, as he was struggling in some ways these past few days and is now in struggling no more, he's entered into the reward of what you have for him for all eternity. Thank you, Father, for that. And God, we take time right now to thank you for how you've blessed our lives. You have given us another day to serve you. Listen, friends, if you're excited that God's given you another day to serve him, would you just say amen? Oh, God, thank you for your goodness. You have been so faithful to us. If we stop and start counting our blessings, we have so much to be thankful for. We're thankful for the family. We're thankful for the place you put us. We're thankful for our faith family. We're thankful for the way you've provided, for the influence you've given us. God, may we use it all for your glory. You've been so good to us. So we'll sing that to you. Oh God, we love you. In all my life, you have been faithful. In all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Has he been good to you? I want you to take a second and think about how he's been good to you. What's he done in your life? Listen, by a show of hands, and I mean it for real, who in here, you've been saved by God, and you know what you were saved from and saved to, and you say, oh, he's been good to me. Come on. Sing that again. All my life you have been faithful. Let's stand and sing it. All my life. And all my life you have been faithful. Come on, sing it to him. Lift it to him. In all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Person in this room took a moment just to talk about all the ways you've blessed and how good you've been. We could be here for hours. So God, thank you. Thank you for new life. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for freedom. Lord, I pray that today in all things we would be honoring to you through your word. Lord, speak to us. Teach us this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you have a Bible, I will encourage you to turn to Psalm 16. We'll be there in just a few moments. But today, we begin a brand new message series called Breaking Boredom. And the idea behind this series is that we will look at aspects of our Christian life that if we're not careful become routine and can even lead to a level of boredom. It's not that God is boring, it's that we have become routine, and so we want to come out of that box and how we can grow in a new and fresh way in our prayer life, in our study, and in the way we serve. So let me begin with this. If you could have an hour-long conversation with any living person today, it doesn't matter if they are an athlete, if they're a politician, a world leader, a musician, an actor, an author, if they were a Christian leader, and if it's your neighbor down the street, anyone who's alive today, if you could spend 1 hour asking them anything you want and they would answer you in any way and you could have a full hour with them, who would you choose? I want you to think about it for just a moment, but I've had time to think about it since I wrote this question. So my answers would be one of three people. I would either want to sit down with Christian author Max Lucado. I love his works and he's amazing. Or I'd want to sit down with author and leader guru John Maxwell. Or I'd want to sit down with Lionel Richie. And I think I'd choose Lionel if I'm being honest. I really do. Hello, is it up there? Is this okay? So I really think I would choose him. Now, I'll be honest. I'm not sure Lionel knows Jesus. He's from Alabama, but I'm not sure he knows Jesus. Why do I say that? Because he says it's easy like Sunday morning. There is nothing easy about Sunday morning if you go to church, okay? So y'all are with me. You understand. So no, he probably knows Jesus. But here's the thing. So you could have an hour conversation with someone, and you get so much info, and you love it. But then what if I told you, you can have one more hour tomorrow and you can sit down with the same person. But here's a caveat. You have to say the same thing, ask the same questions, and they have to respond with the same answers. Now, you would go for one more day. Why would you? There was things you missed the first time. There's no doubt there would be things we had missed. We'd want to check up and see and hear again. But what if I told you now, you have to spend an hour a day with that person every day. Same questions, nothing different. Same answers from them, nothing different. Every day, 365 days a year for the rest of your life. Before long, you'd be running to hide from that person you really wanted to be with. Why? Why would we do that? Because the same repetitive thing over and over does not lead to life and excitement. Well, I want you now to apply that to your prayer life and mine. Listen to these words from Donald Whitney. He says, "It's a sad truth, but we can feel the same way even about talking with God. You can be talking to the most interesting person in the universe about the most important things in your life and still be bored. Is that because you do not love God? No. Is it because God is boring? No. Is it because you don't love what you're praying about? No. It's because we have essentially the same conversation about the same things every day. And if you do that, even talking with God himself can be boring." Now listen, no wonder what Barna research tells us is that the average Christian in America spends less than 1 minute in prayer a day. And that when you talk about average Christianity around the world, less than 30% of people who are followers of Jesus are spending more than 10 minutes a day in prayer. So what about you? And what about me? Can I say this to you? I've been a follower of Jesus for 44 years now. I came to know Christ when I was 8 years old. And there have been spurts of powerful, intimate prayer with God where it has been amazing. And then I'll be honest, there have been long seasons of routine prayers in my life. And I just want to confess that to you. Now, can I confess something else to you? And I'm not saying this with pride. I'm just going to speak the truth for a moment. As the pastor of a First Baptist church in the town, you become the designated prayer at many, many events. You become the DP, as I like to call it. And you get asked to pray. I'll be honest, except for Willis Kelly, who's in the back of the room, who has been in ministry over 70 years of his life. I am certain. I call him the Baptist Pope of Marshall County. I mean, he's it. I mean, but the reality is aside from him, I guarantee you that I've been asked to pray publicly at more events than anybody in the room. I don't mean that for pride. I'm just telling you. Let me explain what I mean. At banquets, city council meetings, funerals, political events, swearing in of public servants, meetings, school events, meals, you name it, pastors get asked to pray a lot. And I will also say, and I love this, but on average, I bet it's 2 a day, average, 365 days a year on average, 2 prayer requests a day where someone will text, call, email, send a message on Facebook, run into me at the grocery store, somewhere else, and say, will you pray for this? Can I tell you, it is an honor and a privilege to pray for people. It is. I love to be able to lift up requests for other people. And to be truthful with you, it's easy to pray for others. It's a joy to carry someone's burden to the Lord. If you have never received a recorded message of me praying for you and my voice praying for you through a text, that's because I don't have your cell phone number or I don't have it correct. I try my best to do that through our entire church directory to work through that, or your phone doesn't receive messages like that. My goal is to do 5 a day. My goal on Fridays is to multiply that times 4. Why? You say, well, Chris, are you trying to show us you're spiritual? No, I'm trying to set up my confession. So here's my confession. I spend a lot of time praying for a lot of people. But my confession is this: when it comes to my personal prayer life, me and intimacy with God, there have been many long seasons of dry prayers over the last 44 years. I confess that to you, and here's why. Because I have prayed the same words through seasons over and over again. And hear me say this: if you pray the same words over and over, I promise you what will happen from life experience, your mind will begin to wander and your heart will struggle to focus. You've been there and you know I'm telling the truth. If you pray the same words over and over, your prayer life slowly but surely becomes shorter and shorter. And so I want to read to you a quote from Donald Whitney in his book called Praying the Bible. It's a powerful quote, but there's truth here, and it says this: when prayer consists of the same spoken sentences on every occasion, naturally we wonder at the value of the practice. If our prayers bore us, do they also bore God? Does God really need to hear me say these things again and again and again? We begin to feel like a little girl I heard about, he says. Her parents had taught her the classic bedtime prayer for children that begins, "Now I lay me down to sleep." One night, she thought, though, why does God need to hear me say this over and over every night? So she decided to record herself saying the prayer, and then at night, she pulls out from under her bed, she presses play, and she just listens to herself pray it. Now listen, some of you, you're thinking, that's pretty ingenious, but the reality is you feel like you could be that little girl. Your prayers are the same over and over. Let me read you one more quote: one prayer does not a prayer life make. Prayers without variety eventually become words without meaning. Let me say it again. Don't miss that. That's important. Prayers without variety eventually become words without meaning. Jesus said to pray this way was to pray in vain. Listen to Matthew 6. He says this on the Sermon on the Mount. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. I have been guilty of that in my own life, where I have heaped up empty phrases, the same routine of prayer. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I have a routine of prayer in my vehicle that when I'm driving and I pass certain things, I stop and pray for certain. I don't stop, but I keep going as I pray with my eyes open. But I keep going and praying. Multiple places in our city where it's just natural for me. I've got a routine of prayer about something or someone as I pass by certain things. But can I tell you, even in being purposeful to pray for those things, it's real easy to let it be the same words every time. But God changed all of this for me this past fall, and I want to talk to you about it for just a moment. We were preparing for the 140 hours of prayer, and in the fall, I knew that if we were going to be asking people to pray for an hour, and that was going to start in January, that people would need some help and resources to know what to pray and not just to feel like I can't do it. So we were working on a prayer booklet, and one of the days we were working on a booklet, or I was working on part of a booklet I was actually in this room, sitting right here on this front row. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. Now listen, I don't use those words lightly. You don't hear me every day saying, the Lord specifically said this. The Lord speaks through His word to me often, regularly, daily. It's the truth. He's already spoke to me this morning through His word. But the reality is, in my own life, I want to be careful with my words and assigning something to God that may just be what I want. I want to know that it's Him. But on this day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. It was not audible, but it was louder than that. Do you know what I mean by that? So I couldn't hear it, but it was louder than that. And so sitting right here on the front row, the Holy Spirit asked me a question. And here's the question. Chris, what are you known for? And I stopped to think about that for a minute. I was not in a hurry. And I thought, well, for fun, I feel like if I were to ask people in a fun way what they know me for, people know I love Christmas. It's my hobby. It's 252 days to Christmas, by the way. You're welcome. There you go. If you go in my office right now, I counted yesterday to make sure that I knew the number. There are 44 Christmas Village houses on display in my office today on April 16th. There are 39 nativity sets in my office. I don't have a problem. You're wrong. But anyway, I knew what you were thinking. But I just love it. I love it. So I think people know for fun, I love Christmas. But for serious, and I sat there and thought, what do people know me for? And I did the best guess I could come up with. And I said, I believe as a pastor, I would hope that at least our church would know that I have a passion for missions and for serving people in our community. We have tried to leak that out and shout that out for a dozen years now. But that's who we are and who we need to be. And by the way, I don't apologize for that. Why? You say, well, why do you care so much about missions? Why do you care so much about serving locally? Because God is a missionary God. And His mission is that the world would know Him. And the very ones that we seem to think are the enemy of God and it should be us against them, that's never been God's plan. They are His prize. They are who He wants to know Him and grow in Him and come to know Him. And I also have a strong conviction, and I cannot stand this phrase when someone says, oh, that's such a God-forsaken place. You've heard me say it before, but I want to say it again. There are no God-forsaken places on this planet. There are only church-forsaken places on this planet. And my prayer and my desire is that we as a church would be willing to stand up and say and to live our lives in a way, just our little old church, just us, that we will do all we can to go to the church forsaken places in Albertville, in neighborhoods in our community. And if you've not been around long enough, you'll find some of those places here in our city, in our state, in our nation, and around the world, that we will be willing to go and make a difference one life at a time, even if it's just one. That's the call of God for us. And I also believe firmly, and I won't apologize for it, you're never more like Jesus than when you're serving. And so that's why, that's what we're about. And so I honestly felt like I gave God a pretty decent answer in saying that I want to be known, or that I feel like I am known for those things. And then the Lord was very specific. He says, that is not what I want you to be known for. And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. I want you to be known as a man of prayer. And that was so convicting in my life. I prayed for people for a long time. They said, I want you to be known as a man of prayer. And in the fall, when the Holy Spirit said that to me, I'll be honest, my prayer life has never been the same. It has been changed since that day. And I have tried to devour and soak in different things that would help me to be a better person of prayer and a more seasoned person of prayer and someone who could take serious what it means to be a bold prayer warrior for the Lord. And one of the greatest tools that I have found is this little book called Praying the Bible. And so what I want to share with you this morning that has been the most revolutionary change in my prayer life, it comes from two little chapters in this book. You can read those chapters in 10 minutes. And in fact, I want to encourage you to do something. Today at 5 p.m., I'm going to show you a method of prayer now, but then today at 5 p.m., we're going to invite you back and we're going to take a deeper dive into this method and how to use other parts of the Bible to do so and how to help your prayers be fresh and exciting and know that God that you are touching the heart of God and He is responding and speaking to you and helping you to know what He is saying. We'll talk about that. And so I have 50 copies of this book, one per family. If you would like to come back tonight at 5 o'clock, you can have one for free. And if you don't, you say, well, I don't really want to come back, but can I get one of those books? No. And so you just know, I'm not going to give you one. You got to come back to get it. And so I encourage you to come back at 5 o'clock tonight to get it, okay? You say, well, I don't know that I can be there. Send your wife, send your husband, send somebody to be here. And it won't just be this, but our student ministry, Kale has prepared an hour of interaction and lesson and teaching on prayer for the students to dive deeper tonight as well. And Pam has prepared an hour of interaction and lesson and teaching for our first through sixth graders to dive deeper into prayer and how to pray as well. And then we have nursery for those below. So we're taking all the excuses away. Just come back at 5 o'clock. Our goal, our guarantee, not a goal, is to have you out in an hour. So come, I promise it'll be worth it. But for today, let me set the stage and whet your appetite with something you can take and use today in your prayer life. And so here's the phrase. If you're writing things down, write this down. You'll never remember it. It's a little too confusing, but it's a great phrase. We will ask the Spirit of God to use the Word of God to help the people of God to pray fresh prayers in the will of God. We will ask the Spirit of God to use the Word of God to help the people of God to pray fresh prayers in the will of God. So it's all about God's Word. It's about God's Spirit. Let me say something to you. The Bible is the key. If we ever have a Sunday that someone gets up here and does not use the Bible, it's time to find another church. Friends, the reality is the Bible is not just the foundation of who we are. It's the lifeblood of everything we study together and do. His Word is truth, and we must know it. And the Bible is key. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is breathed out and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All Scripture is useful for helping us. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Bible is our greatest resource and our most valuable treasure. Amen? Do you believe that? The Bible's our greatest resource and our most valuable treasure. And let me share something with you that's important. When you read God's Word, we must always look for context. When you are studying God's Word to take in info, information, and to find application. My goal every week is to give you information from God's Word, application from God's Word. But here's what I want to say to you. If you take in information and there's no application, you will never have transformation. Transformation comes when information and application come together and we seek to live that out. So I want to encourage you, when it comes to studying God's Word, always use context. We're going to hit on this next week in a big way. And when we hit on it next week in a big way, it'll be a reminder of what God is doing through the Word of God and how to find context, the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why. Who wrote it? Who were they writing to? What were they saying? When were they saying it? Where were they saying it? Why were they saying it? All of that context we will look at next week in a deeper dive for that. But for today and for tonight, we're going to unpack specific prayers in the Bible. If you come back tonight, I've got a piece of paper for you. It's actually several sheets of paper stapled together that has the 220 prayers in the Bible, 220 prayers that were literally prayed, not where it says, and they prayed for, and they talked about prayer, but where they really prayed, what the prayer is, the context of it, and then hopefully we'll find some ways you can apply it to your life. We're not even going to talk about that tonight. It's just a free resource for you to help you in your prayer life. So come, I will give you that. We're going to learn how to pray through different parts of the Scripture in an intimate way and make it flow. But for today, and this is where I really want you to start, because this is how God transformed me in my prayer life, is with the Psalms. Just the Psalms. And so I want to encourage you to learn to pray the Psalms. But hear me say something which is going to seem strange to hear it come out of my mouth. Context is not the issue in this exercise. If you are reading for information, application, transformation, context always matters. But the Psalms, this prayer book of God, this book of praise, did you know that The book of Psalms in Hebrew literally means book of praise. This is the hymn book of the church. This is the hymn book of Israel. And it was prayers that they prayed. So for today, we're not going to focus so much on context, but how the Spirit guides us as we read the Psalms and pray those back to God. This will make sense in just a moment. And let me explain why it's okay to not worry about the context as much as how the Lord guides. Here's why. Philippians 4:6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He just said, pray about everything. Somebody say everything.
Everything.
Pray about everything. And then Ephesians 6:16 says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication. When? All times, all things, in all circumstance. So what I would say to you and remind you is that you and I, we can pray about everything. So when we're praying scripture that's designed to be given back to God, you pray about whatever the Spirit prompts you in that prayer and follow that. And I promise you, you'll stop saying the same old thing over and over and over again. We are commanded to pray about everything. I wrote this down. You will never run out of things to pray when you pray the Bible. So how do we do it? Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Find a psalm. We're going to do Psalm 16 in a second. Why are we choosing Psalm 16? Because here's my method. It talks about it in this book I'll give you. But honestly, I've been practicing this method off and on since I was 13 years old. When I was 13 years old, myself and two other 13-year-olds would meet on Tuesday mornings at 6:30 a.m. Our parents would drop us off in the fellowship hall of Jackson Way Baptist Church in Huntsville, Alabama. And we met in that fellowship hall, three 13-year-olds, every Tuesday at 6:30. And a gentleman there in the church would meet with us, and he taught us how to pray. And he taught us how to read the Bible. And he taught us how to grow in Christ. And one of the things he taught us back then was to use the Psalms for your daily praying and growing in Christ. And his method is the same method that's mentioned in this book, and that is to cover all 150 psalms of reading in a month. You don't pray them all in a month, but you read them all. Here's how you do it. Today is the 16th, so I will read Psalm 16, then I will add 30 and read Psalm 46, and I will add 30 and read Psalm 76, and I will add 30 and read Psalm 106, and I will add 30 and read Psalm 136. You may say, that's a lot of reading. All of that, I did it this morning, except for Psalm 16. I did it all in 10 minutes. It does not take long. But if you will do that every day, whatever day of the week it is, read that psalm, then add 30 to it until you run out of psalms. You'll read 5 psalms a day, and in 30 days, you will have read all the psalms. Some of us have never done that. I would encourage you to do that, to lift that up. So what I do is I read those psalms first thing, and then after I read them, I'm reading for information at first. An inspiration from the Lord. And then I go back and I pick one of those to pray for the day. Just one. And so what I've done for today is I read Psalm 46, 76, 106, 136. Can I tell you this morning, it was so awesome to read Psalm 46 and see that something that I've really not noticed much before. It's this beautiful verse about God making glad the rivers of God in the city of God. And it's this idea that people think that's talking about Jerusalem, and it is, but do you know there's no river in Jerusalem? This hit me this morning. There's no river in Jerusalem. There's some streams, but no river. So what's it referring to? It's referring to the new Jerusalem. So what was written way before in the Psalm 46 had some meaning then, but it was also a picture of what was to come in Revelation 22. That excited me this morning when I read it, just the truth of that. Then I read in Psalm 106, and it just gives us history of what happened and all that God has done for us and the way he's blessed us and what he did from the Exodus and that forward in time. So you have prophecy and history all in today's readings. It was great, and it was special for me. Now, I didn't read Psalm 16 on purpose because I wanted to pray it with you. I want to model it with you together, what I mean, how it works, so you can see how this is done and what I would encourage you to do. Now, I'll let you in a little secret. I already prayed it in the early service. Now, I don't know if the prayer will be the same in this service. Probably not, because I don't preach the same words in both services as much as I try. So the reality is, it's just going to be a fresh prayer again. But I want you to follow along and see how this method works. Now, if you're checking out mentally right now, you're thinking, I don't know, praying the Psalms, I've read them. Listen, if your prayers are the same old thing, same old time, all the time, I want to show you a fresh approach. You're still praying about the same things, same people, but in a new and fresh way. Let me show you. Psalm 16. By the way, let me give you a little caveat before I do. I forgot this in the early service, and I don't want to mess you up. If you start doing this on your own, and you come to Psalms like Psalm 137, do not pray Psalm 137. You say, why? Because this is what it says. It says, blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock. Don't be praying. All right? So there's verses in there that talk about that God would knock out the teeth of your enemy. Don't be praying those verses, okay? Listen, those are scripture and holy inspired. Those are called imprecatory psalms. And imprecatory psalms, if you're going to pray one, it's supposed to be about your sin, not about your enemy, all right? So just let me just get that out of the way. When you come to a strange psalm, don't pray that. Read it for what it's worth. Learn from it. And pray it about your own sin, that God would dash that against the rocks, but not somebody's little child. Okay, anyway, so just enough of that. And some of y'all are thinking, that's in the Bible? Just read it and you'll see for yourself. Okay, so Psalm 16, pray with me. You keep your eyes open, by the way. We won't close them for this. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak through the reading of your word and lead me what to pray for and how to pray. Verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. God, I find my refuge in who you are. I find my refuge in your greatness, in the shadow of your wings, as I read about even earlier today as well in one of the Psalms. Father, I pray that every person in this room would find their refuge in you. We try to find our refuge in our finances, our bank accounts, in our personalities, in our relationships. But God, all of that sooner or later will fail. Something's not going to go right. So God, may we find our refuge in you. Lord, I pray for some of my friends that I know struggle with trying to surrender to you totally. I pray that they would find their refuge in you. Verse 2, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Father, everything good in my life comes from you. We sang the goodness of God a moment ago, and I just have it's like a movie reel that goes through my mind every time we sing that song. I think about how you provided me a wonderful wife and three sons. I think about my parents. I think about my in-laws. I think about friends. I think about this faith family. God, to stand at the back of the door before the service starts and just greet people as they walk in and to hug a neck or to give a side hug or a shake a hand or a high five, and just to see how good you've been to giving us a faith family to knit us together. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that there is nothing good apart from you and all the ways you've blessed our church. Father, you have grown our church with new people tremendously in the last couple of years. Father, we don't take that lightly. It is nothing that we have done. It is all what you have done, and we thank you. And please let us stay out of the way so you can keep doing it. Don't let us mess it up. God, I believe you're sending people that we can be on mission for you, and a bigger army can do more ministry in our community and around the world. Verse 3, as for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Father, the reality is, I skipped over that verse this morning, but for now, can I say that every person in this room that knows you is a saint, but there are some in here that they feel like anything but that. God, help them to know who they are in you. Help them to know that they are not last week's bad decision. They're not last night's mistake. They are not tomorrow's outburst of anger, that they are who you have created them to be and who you are making them to be. That, Father, the scripture teaches us who they are and who we are in you. We are a son and daughter of the Most High King. So I pray that all of our new believers who have come to know you recently would know what that means, that they walk as your sons and daughters and they don't have to walk in their old ways anymore. I pray for others, some in here, Lord, who are stuck in addiction and they think nobody knows it. And the truth is, I don't know it. I'm not saying I know things about them, but you know it. Your spirit knows it. God, I pray that they would know that they are a saint in your eyes when it comes to their positional holiness. So God, help them to be able to walk in that practically. Help them to have hope and find a new way and to find a way to make that happen. We go on to say, Lord, in the next verse, verse 4, the sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. God, that little g, God, I have been guilty of running after other gods. I have been guilty myself of putting other things as more important than you. So God, forgive me for that. Father, I pray that every person in this room would put you at the center of their worship and the center of their life. But God, we pray for people that are driving by right now and people in our city and people in our community and people around the world that, Father, they are running after the wrong things and they have found so many things that are in the way of them walking with you for one reason or another. Would you draw them to you, Father, because there is only sorrow there in the end when it doesn't come to knowing you. So Lord, we pray for the lost people around us that they would come to know you and who you are, that your Holy Spirit would work in their heart, that you'll put someone in their path that can speak truth to them and help them in some way. Verse 5, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. God, you are our provider in all things. Verse 6, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Oh God, I pray that every person in this room would take a second to think about what they're thankful for, how you've blessed us. We've already done that through singing, but God, may we see the beautiful inheritance you've given, that the lines of your will for us, they've fallen in pleasant places. That doesn't mean life is perfect, but God, you've done so much for us. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. Father God, I would love to mean that, but I got to be honest, I struggle with that. Because in the night my heart doesn't instruct me, my heart leads me astray. I can lay in bed and every worry, every fear, every anxiety, every conversation that didn't go well can replay in my head for the day or for the week. And I can lay there and have struggle at night before bed and I can wake up with the worry or anxiety or concern on my mind. So my prayer is that I could turn to your counsel, the counsel of your word, the counsel of your Holy Spirit. You're the one who gives it, so that my heart would instruct me in the night. And I pray the same for every person in this room. There are people in this room who go lay down at night. They fight everything to not lay down at night, because when they do, their mind races and they see the struggles and problems and worries and concerns. God, help them to find their peace in you. Help them to find their path in you, their truth in you. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. God, if we will keep our eyes fixed on you, we can trust that we will not be shaken. Though death comes, though defeat comes, though sorrow comes, Father, we have hope in you for who you are. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. Father, we got a lot to be thankful for. If we had time, we'd stop and say it all, but it's time to go, so I'm going to rush through this part. But God, this is where I want to stop and give you thanks for who you are. Verse 10, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. Father, I know in the Bible the word Sheol, the word Hades, and the word hell really all sort of get linked in together in so many ways. So I'm going to apply this here, that you have not abandoned us to hell so that your Holy One would see corruption. Father, there are people around us who are headed to hell. I don't say that to frighten them. I say that in all sadness and agony. God, I don't want my relatives to go to hell. I don't want neighbors to go to hell. I don't want people in our city to go to hell. Father, my prayer, my heart's desire, is that we as a faith family could live in such a way that we could live our lives like that song said to Love Now. We could live our lives in such a way that we could make Albertville a hard place to get to hell from. God, would you do that? Lord, use us in that regard. God, help us to have a burden for our friends and family that don't know you. Why in the world would we not share with them? God, burden the hearts of the believers in this room. Burden their hearts with a name and a face right now. But Father, I pray there are people that come in and out this door every week who don't know you, And God, my prayer is we just as we did this morning, as the men gathered to pray and we walked throughout this room, God, I prayed for several people by name that I believe need to come to know you. And God, I, without saying their name publicly right here, I'm praying again, help those men to come to know you. God, I pray that they would have a desire to walk with you. I pray that you would give us all a burden to share the gospel with others. Verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. God, your presence brings joy, not my circumstance. Your presence brings joy, not someone's, whatever's going on this afternoon. So God, I pray that all of us could find our joy in you and you would make our joy complete, Lord, through your scripture, through the Holy Spirit, through walking with you in intimacy with you, through living our lives for you. Lord, that's my prayer. All right, friends, so that's me praying through Psalm 16. I didn't repeat any words I would normally say in a prayer, but I prayed for a lot of the same things I would pray. And that was a genuine prayer. You may say, Chris, I can't do that. Yes, you can. I guarantee you and I dare you. You can do it. All you have to do is let the Spirit guide you and use the words to lead you how to pray. And again, you're not going to be able to pray every psalm. So you read them all and you pick one and you pray through that. Now tonight we're going to talk about how to pray through the narrative. That's hard of the Bible, but it's worth it. We're going to, it's most fulfilling, I believe, but it's not easy. We're going to talk about how to pray through the letters of the Bible. And all that in an hour, and we'll look at it, and then we'll practice. We're going to practice two chapters together by yourself, not out loud. You don't have to do that, but we'll do that. So come back at 5 o'clock. Students come back at 5 o'clock. Children come back at 5 o'clock. Adults come back. Again, if we have over 50 families show up, we'll buy some more books. But if there's just 10 of us here, we're going to study together. And oh, it has been life-changing for me. So here's the invitation. How's your prayer life? I didn't say how long was it. I said, how is it? Is it repetition? It's not because you don't care about what you're praying for. It's that we just seem to say the same things. So can we use the scripture, this book of hymns and psalms to the Lord, things that he gave us to pray to him? He gave them to us for that reason. Can we use those to guide us as we pray? They are timeless in their truth. So we will ask him to help. Maybe you're here today and you just want to come and get on your knees for a moment and have a time of recommitment to your prayer life. You want to have a passionate, bold prayer life. You want to pray bold, kingdom-shaking prayers, not just the same old, same old. I've shared this with you before, but let me share it again. If God answered every prayer you've ever prayed in the last 7 days, tomorrow, would it change the world or would it just change your little world? If it just changes your world, your prayers aren't bold enough. Let's pray bigger, more bold prayers for God to kingdom shake the world around us and for others to come to know him. Maybe for you, though, you've got a decision to make. Maybe you want to come and say, I want to follow through with believer's baptism. I've got the Lord in my life. Maybe you come to say you want to be saved. Maybe you come to say, I want to be an official part of First Baptist Church. We want to become members. We would love to have you if you're willing to serve with us. We want to be an army together to reach the nations for the kingdom. And I have enough faith in who God is and what he's called us to do that we can have a part in that. And we can do it. Would you join us? Pray with me. I know we just spent 10 minutes praying. But with eyes closed for just a moment, we're going to sing a song. And if nobody comes, we're just going to sing one verse. You'll know it. It's what a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege to bring everything to God in prayer. My prayer is that this song will inspire you and encourage you in a recommitment to your prayer life. My prayer is that the simple plan I've shown you today will help you and inspire you and encourage you to have a fresh anointing when you pray, led by the Spirit, praying through the Word of God, living out as the people of God what he's called us. If you have some other decision, though, I would be honored to pray with you. Carol would be honored to pray with you. Whatever God is saying for you, would you come? Would you respond? You want to join? You come. You want to do something else? We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Father God, have your way now. Let this song come from our hearts and not just our memories, that we're asking you and we're thankful for the friend you are And it's a recommitment to prayer in Jesus' name. Let's stand together and sing, What a Friend.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.